Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. What I love about Shopify is basically how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. I know we use Shopify here at Betches, and honestly, anyone with any kind of business could really benefit from Shopify. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/betches, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/betches now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/betches.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, the podcast where we cover all the pop culture we love to hate, from the classic reality TV moments of the past and present to the latest Daily Mail headlines and everything in between. We'll dive into all the infamous and notorious messes you can't stop watching. I'm looking at you, Jax Taylor. I'm your host, Ryan Bailey.
Mommy, make it roll. Once you pop, pop, lock it for me, girl, get low. With your mama, take it to your baby girl, let it show. Once you pop, pop, lock it for me, baby, we can roll.
Hey guys, welcome to your Wednesday edition of So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. I am Ryan Bailey. How are we? We have made it halfway through the week. It is hump day. That's what we call it, hump day. There's nothing weird there. Sorry, I'm just, and there's nothing satanic there, Brandi Redmond. Do not worry about that. I just got finished watching Real Housewives of Dallas. Did you guys watch that? Brandy is just, and this is even separate from what she's going through with her husband. If you guys have been online, I talk about this with my guest later in the program, but her husband seems to like to go to packed clubs and make out with other ladies that aren't his wife. And I know you're like, what? A man do that? But yeah, it looks like that's him. It looks like Brandy's got a lot more problems to worry about than Tiffany Moon. And I mean, Brandy is potentially having one of the craziest flameouts I've seen in housewife history. She, once again, it's very frustrating. She today kind of was judgmental with Deandra because, listen, I'm not a big shaman fan. Like, is anybody a big? I mean, I don't dislike shamans, but I'm not out there searching for shamans. But also, I would be down to work with a shaman, you know? But to say that it is potentially satanic and not what Jesus wants, that is completely bizarre to me and seems completely to be a real huge issue for Brandy. She kept saying this episode that she does everything through Jesus and prayer, and I understand that and appreciate it, but I can't believe all of that stuff she says, and then she gets wildly drunk. She seems like she has a lot of issues in her life, and it's like, is Jesus at any point stepping in on any of this, or is it, can we all blame it on the shaman? Sorry to be so judgmental so early in the show, but tonight's Dallas episode was great, and I will be doing a full recap of Real Housewives of Dallas the last 2 weeks with my friend Kate Legaco. We couldn't get it together this week because Kate had to have sushi today, she said. It just didn't work out for multiple reasons. Well, one of the reasons it didn't work out, you guys, I'm going to be on Dana Wilkie's podcast in a couple weeks, I think, and we recorded it today. Dana Wilkie, of course, you guys remember Real Housewives of Beverly Hills legend with the glasses, 25,000, and Dana Pam, remember? I was on her podcast today. It was great. I've got to be better at scheduling. So that will be out on the Patreon Thursday. You'll have two Dallas recaps out there. Also, like I said, go support me, support what I'm doing. We got Real Housewives of Miami. We have the third episode recap will be out tomorrow afternoon with Maritza Lopez. And also, go back and listen to all these episodes I've been putting out. There's just so many great interviews. Did you guys like Samuel Burke yesterday? I just loved him so much. And I got a couple comments today that I really appreciated and that they were going to go check out his show. And that really, really excited me. And I really appreciate you guys doing that. But yeah, the Brandy stuff I will get more into tomorrow as more information comes to light. You know, like a real investigative journalist that I am. Because I do want to play a couple clips from a podcast called Call Her Daddy, where they had somebody had written in saying they had slept with a Real Housewives of Dallas husband. So who knows? That could have been Brandy's husband. But I do want to remind people that, you know, most of the husbands of the housewives have, I'd sit down, just be prepared for what I'm about to say, have probably cheated on the housewives. So yeah. I mean, just no matter if you like them or not, there is a good chance that has happened. So just emotionally prepare yourself. I would hate to see anybody cry over something like this. So more info will come to light, and I'll talk more about this on Thursday's episode. Today, we have just an amazing guest. You know her as at Brands by Bravo, BrandsByBravo. And she's great. She has an amazing account, just hit 25,000 followers. I think we started around the same time. And she is just, she's great. She's funny. She's positive. She likes wine. I mean, I could keep listing the great things about her. And this conversation we have is just a blast. I'm telling you guys, it's like these are the conversations that Bravo lovers have. And you're going to feel like you are in a car with us. And you're trying to sleep, but we keep talking about amazing things, so you stay up. That's what this conversation is. We kind of go around the world. Real Housewives of Atlanta, Below Deck Sailing Yacht, Southern Charm, Winter House, Summer House, all of the houses. We talk about her account. We really hit all of it. The only thing we didn't get a hit, and she reminded me afterwards, is we forgot to talk about one of our other loves. It's a TLC show called Welcome to Plathville that she is a big fan of, and so am I, and we forgot to talk about that. So next time we'll hit that. The one last thing I want to bring up before we get into the interview is we have what I like to call a renaissance man on our hands here. Mr. Craig Conover from Southern Charm has announced something huge. He is not only a pillow prince, but now, folks, I don't know how this works. I really don't know. And at first, I thought this was a prank so bad, and I thought my friend was pranking me. I thought two of my friends were pranking me and made a website and made a post, and then they had me repost it, and I thought this is a big prank, but it looks like it is real. Craig Conover has the Conover Law Firm. There is a website that you can put your information in. There is the Instagram post is great. It's him looking directly at the camera, just very sultry. He's got like a light pink suit with a blue tie, and it says Conover Law Firm. Don't get run over. Call Craig Conover. Call Conover. That's hysterical. Don't get run over. Oh man. You may have seen me on TV, but my clients know me as their personal injury lawyer. Conover Law Firm can help you with your personal injury or workers' compensation case. So this guy is just on fire. He has a pillow company. He's going to open a brick and mortar on the same street in Charleston as Leva's Republic. And I do know for a fact that is happening. And obviously, if you get hit in the greater Charleston area, you can go to Conover. He's going to have all your needs. I have a good feeling you might get hit by Craig with how he drinks, and then he'll be able to represent you against himself. That's how good this is going to be. And I know a lot of ladies and probably a lot of guys out there are going like, oh, I'd get run over to work with Craig. Think about that. You'd still be heavily injured and you wouldn't be able to do anything with your body and his body because you would be probably in a chair or in some kind of hospital bed. But I think if anybody wants to just start filling in a bunch of names and things, let's see who gets back to you. You know, I don't want to do it because I already have other legal issues. But if you guys want to get in there and just see who calls you back. God, it wouldn't be great if Austin calls, you know, and you can just tell because of his big Muppet mouth. So this is really shocking news because a lot of us, we also know Craig as somebody that has not passed the bar. So I know for a fact that you need to pass the bar supposedly to practice law, but we'll find out. We'll see. Maybe he's not aware of that fact. I don't know. We'll see. But it's an exciting time for Craig. I'm very supportive of him. And I'm sure but isn't it weird that he announced this on the same day that Shep's book came out? Seems like stealing a little bit of Shep's thunder, huh? A little spotlight. We'll see more about this. But at first, I swear to God, I thought this was a prank for a good hour. And then I saw that this account Craig follows. Like, Craig follows this account. So I was like, there's no way he would just randomly follow this account. The only thing that threw me off, though, if you go to Craig's account, he doesn't have anything about being a personal injury lawyer on his personal account yet. So a little, but maybe he's busy finishing up Winter House. It looks like him and Austin are at Cipriani in downtown New York with Paige and Hannah, and they're all having a big dinner. Craig does really have a delightful smile, doesn't he? You guys, here we go. Have a great Wednesday. Her name is Danielle, but we like to call her at Brands by Bravo. And here she is. I'll talk to you guys on Thursday. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wednesday. We are halfway through the week. How did it go so fast? I know how it went so fast because there is so much going on in pop culture and Bravo and all of the things that we love to death. And today we are lucky enough to have somebody that loves it just as much, if not more, than we do. Her name is Danielle, but you know what? You might not even know. You'd be like, Danielle, who's Danielle? You might know her better by what I say is her stage name. I'll announce that in a second, but her Instagram account just celebrated 25,000 followers, which really is a huge number because, you know, we all started from that zero spot. So that is to be celebrated. And it's not just given out. You can't just get 25. I mean, you can buy 25,000, but I know she didn't do that. It's the work you put in. It's the memories associated with these shows that we love. It's the associations she makes. This really is
an app, Instagram, and her account especially, that brings me personally a lot of joy. And I know you guys as well. If you don't know about her, you're about to know way more about her today. It's Danielle, or as we really like to know her, at Brands by Bravo. How are you, Brands?
Hi, I'm good. Someone actually thought my name was Brandy and commented something. It was like, well, Brandy, when they were like telling me an opinion. I thought,
well, Brandy.
Well, Brandy. Like, I was like, that's not my name, but I kind of like
that.
That
would be cool if your middle name was By and your last name was Bravo.
I think that was like Brandy by Bravo or something. Because, you know, it's like, there's a lot of people have like Bravo by Bob or like, you know, names like that. So maybe
I sometimes wish I had put Bravo in my username, just because I feel like I might get some more of that sweet Bravo merch from Bravo when they I feel like they give it, if there's a Bravo in your account, they're more likely to give you swag. And I feel like I should be like, so Bravo it's good, or so Bravo it's good.
True. Well, branding is a whole hard thing, branding and Brands by Bravo, because I made the name and have one intention for my account, and then I abandoned that like a month in, never changed my name. And I've thought of changing a few times, but I think I'm sticking with it. I did a poll actually, because I was so indecisive on it, but I think stick with it.
You were on my podcast one time before to talk about a very specific moment that happened, and we'll get into that later again, just to remind everybody. But for new listeners out there, what was the initial intent of your account that first month?
So I have my background's in marketing, but I don't work in it anymore. But I thought it was like a fun way to look at different, all the like Bravo brands that these Bravo Labs create. And I wanted to like highlight old ones, new ones. I thought of reviewing them, but A, that took a lot of money because people's products are not cheap, which like I don't have to go buy these random things. And then I just started kind of making memes, and those tended to be more popular. And there's a lot more content to go with that. And it just kind of naturally evolved away from my original intent to just focus on one thing. I think like when you make an account and you try to start too specific, you always end up going much broader than that.
It is funny though. I can wax philosophical about accounts now, like where I'm like, in the early days of my accounts, I was very naive to think. And it is funny because it's like this origin story, and you kind of like, I know I sound potentially pompous when I say these things because I take it so seriously now, but it is something that I'm so proud of. And like, you know, it's like, I feel like I said this to Oh No Bravo, is that like, there's a bunch of accounts that we all started around the same time. And it really is a very cool, it's a community that I never thought I would be a part of, nor did I know a community like this existed.
Totally.
But it's fun to be, because you'll be like, that's totally a Bravo Wall Black post. You know, like, mm-hmm. I love when you can see like the stamp of, it's like art, you know, like, oh yes, Picasso's early work, you know?
yes, definitely. But yeah, I mean, I even committed, I made like a whole spreadsheet. I still have it. I made out like every single company that every Bravo person started, every book written, every music. Like I went hard on my initial research and I still like to post about people's brands. But
well, speaking of books, you're going to need to update your list, because Shep's book comes out today, folks. I believe it's called Below Average Expectations. Mm-hmm. Will you be reading the Shep Rose from Southern Charm? Will you be reading his tome, his novel?
So the only Bravo books I've read are all of Andy's books. And honestly, of all of them, I kind of feel like Chip would have an interesting book. He's very witty and funny.
He likes to tell us he's witty and funny. And I do, I do actually get a kick out of him. Yes.
And I think he's pretty smart. Hopefully he doesn't I know he likes his big SAT words. So
yeah.
Hopefully there's not too many of those in there. But I'd read it.
So we've got a, by the way, I think that should be on the back of the book. I'd read it. Brands by Bravo.
Give it a shot.
So that was actually huge Bravo news. If you guys do enjoy the written word, which I don't think there's any time to read anymore because there's too many reality shows on, are you suffering like I am from Bravo reality show exhaustion?
A little bit. I actually, about 2 weeks ago, I think I took my first week off in so long where I didn't post anything. And that had been, I don't think I realized it. I was like, I need to not go on my account for a few days and just take a little mental break. I didn't watch any Bravo for the week because it just was But and then because I wasn't watching, I didn't want to go online because I didn't want to see spoilers. But yeah, there's a lot of shows on right now that I'm watching.
Well, Danielle, I found out something crazy the other week. There is, did you know, I know you're in a house right now. Did you know if you go outside one of the main doors, there's like a whole outside area. Like there's
in
like
the
a whole
year. I have forgotten.
There's
that.
A whole world out there. Like I saw a hiking trail the other day. It is crazy what we've grown. I've just grown so used to watching like 7 or 8 hours of TV a day.
Yeah.
And it really gets to a point where it's mind numbing and you're starting to take it personally. Like, I know we mentioned we both watched Real Housewives of Atlanta this past week, and I'm screaming at the TV about Cynthia's super spreader wedding. I'm like,
oh my gosh,
of course everything's going wrong. You did this to yourself.
I felt the same exact way. I mean, since the pandemic started, I think the most amount of people I've been inside with was like 13 at one point, and that was a really big deal. so watching her have a 200 person wedding is just really hard to comprehend. And I don't know if she's like looking for sympathy from viewers, but she's not going to get it from me. Like she deserved all of it.
I started to have a panic attack. I was like, this is a lot of people, you guys. Do you guys see how many people this is?
And
the rumor is that Bravo, and it's not a rumor, Bravo refused to shoot that day. And she hired her own film crew to come in and shoot pieces of her wedding, which I think is fascinating, is that Cynthia this whole season just could never get. And I love Cynthia, but Cynthia could never get past the fact that she wanted this to be a big wedding and for it to be seen. Because even Mike, her husband, said, hey, babe, it's just me and you. Like, that's all that matters. And she's like, I agree, but I'd also like 250 people to see me, you know?
Yeah, the most masks we saw throughout the entire season was when she had everyone in her house and they were all actually wearing masks. But then she comes outside and was like, oh yeah, my family flew in. I'm like, oh my God, like it's like the COVID alarms are going off. Like I try so hard to not be like too aggressively the COVID police.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
shows
yeah.
Because I don't want to be annoying about it because everyone interprets and does things their own way, but there's certain things they've done on these shows. That's why I think Summer House is the best to watch because they don't leave the house. So you don't even think about COVID when you're watching it.
Well, I mean, and you guys, we're going to jump all over the place because we're two Bravo professionals, so we can do that without getting hurt. So just follow us. Speaking of Summer House, so Carl came back this week at the end of this week's episode. Do you wonder, like, did he have to quarantine 14 days before he went in the house? I know he's quarantining in his room, but I need more rule. Like, I need the Summer House to let us know what the rules are.
So I think that's been a big miss with every single show that has been filmed during COVID from Bravo. And this isn't even just Bravo, on any reality show. I wish they would put a disclaimer and inform people of everything they have done, because it would make me, like, I know the women, I'm pretty sure they're all tested twice a week. That's why they're kind of just wearing those shields and are spending a lot more time but I want to know the crew, the people that they bring in, like the Shamu, Deandra. So I think Carl, what I imagine, he probably knew he was fine. He left knowing he didn't have COVID because he literally had been in the house for, at that point, like 3 weeks, went to his brother's funeral. And then it looks like when he came back, he just went straight into the room. And I believe as long as 3 days in a row, if you test negative for COVID, I don't think he's going to have to spend the rest of the season quarantined. Because I think I don't know 100%, but I feel like that's what it is. Any doctors or anyone, don't get mad if I'm wrong.
Yeah, guys, if you're a doctor.
I am not a medical professional. This is just what I remember.
If you're a doctor, first off, congratulations. Second off, reach out to me and let me know what the deal is.
Yes, but I thought the same thing too. And I found it interesting that he just went like straight into his room.
Yeah. And then she's
like
having that conversation.
He's
like a Vito waving from a balcony. And like, and then Lindsay's talking at him through a door. I mean, but I will say, Summer House, of all the shows on right now, I am in love with. I am passionate about. I cannot wait for Thursdays. Like I'm telling strangers, watch Summer. I'm like shouting from my window, watch Summer House.
When did you start watching it, Summer House?
When I started watching it weekly was on the third season, and I caught up with the first two seasons, and I was like, so, but what I love about these, it's like, it's like a band where their first couple albums, they're touring, they're getting used to each other. And then you see, like, I love this band Phoenix, and I remember seeing them at multiple stages in their career. And by the time this one like breakout album came, they were so road tested. They were just, they could make any song sound good. And that's how I feel with Summer House, is that they're not even bringing strangers into the house and they are making it work. Like, it is mm-hmm. so entertaining.
That one episode last week, I couldn't even believe all of those things happened in one day. They woke up, unfortunate passing of Carl's brother, into Hannah and Amanda fighting, into Lindsay and Stravi fighting and him leaving. I think like Luke had something with Sia. I couldn't believe it. I was like, that was one day.
Yes. Could you imagine? I was trying to think about what the production team must have gone through that day, because they had to get Carl out of there. So they're like, they're probably bummed about that for multiple reasons. And then they're like, whoa, there's still action going on in here. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, holy shit. And I mean, they must have like went to sleep that night going, this really works. This is working. You know?
I'm not surprised. It's you lock people in a house for a certain amount of time that can't literally go anywhere. You're going to lose your mind. It's like what would happen on The Real World.
It's what happened all year to all of us in America.
To all of us.
Exactly. We just didn't have cameras there. By the way, that would be funny to go back now and like Bravo just put cameras in all of our homes. Like, let's see what we can get.
That would be very boring. It would be me on the couch watching Bravo with my dog and Danielle, my husband popping in eventually.
I know you have a husband. Are you allowed to have Bravo crushes?
Oh, yeah.
Who are your Bravo crushes?
My husband and I are both in love with Amanda. Like, okay. Oh my God, she is so pretty.
Wait. So I love Amanda, her. But do you like her personality or do you just?
Oh yeah, I like her personality too. She seems to me the most just like down to earth. Like one of my favorite scenes was from last season, and she came home and she put on Real Housewives of Orange County. And I just thought that was so meta, like being filmed while watching Bravo was like it was such an inception. She's definitely one of them. Man-wise, Juan Dixon,
I gotta say, I steamrolled through all five seasons of Potomac this past year. So I was caught up by the time season five started. And it was funny. Like I remember the scene with him and Giselle shopping for the ring, you know, where he brought Giselle with him. And I remember writing down, what a magnetic smile. What a beautiful smile. I go, what a beautiful really smile. Does. He lights up a room. I can see why bald Voldemort guy loves him.
Ashley Darby's husband.
Darby's Michael. Yeah. I can see why Michael loves him so much.
Yeah. And then Mauricio's been like, you know, I've been through it with him since season one. Like, I'm Jewish. He's the Jewish Mexican man of my dreams. Like,
do you follow him in the stoner period? We're now in a stoner era. Yes, absolutely.
I think I like him even, like stoned Mauricio is an even better one. But he's like the classic first hot house husband, I think.
He is OG hot. If you like, yeah. I've been hearing my female friends thirst over Mauricio, which feels like a decade now, you know?
Yeah, it's been since season one that I've loved him. I'm trying to think if there's any others that... Oh, Evan, also Jackie's husband, I think.
Even with all the rumors going around now, I'm going to say something to you. I hear some things that he goes to the gym and he does things.
I want to know what they think do they think he's having sex in the bathroom at the gym? Like, what is that? Well, is gym an excuse? Like he says he's going to the gym or he's going somewhere else? Or is he like doing it at the gym with someone? Is that what they're applying? Because no one really specified that.
I want to know, is this a 24-hour fitness? Is this an LA fitness? Also, what are the COVID, like my gym shut
down? I was thinking that too. What COVID gyms are open? There's not enough info for me.
He's going to the gym. And if he's having sex at the gym, is he having a sex with the mask on? Like there's so many intricacies that we just don't ask. But Evan, I don't know. Like I got to say that first episode was such a just a firework episode where I just thought it was so good. And then let the air out of the bag where the Jackie every episode telling a different family member what's been done to her, I'm over it. I was like, oh my God, that scene with Teresa, that's like so good, such an amazing housewife moment. And then she's ruined it the past couple of episodes where I'm like, Jackie, you are boring and now it's getting sad. And like, do you have anything else besides this? Like, do you feel that way at all?
Yeah, I agree. It's hard. I can't imagine if you knew 100% your husband was not cheating on you, I don't know why you would get so upset. That's kind of my take on it. Like,
exactly.
Are you mad that she said it? Because like, I get it. Obviously they're famous. It's different. But like her continuing to re-bring it up, if I was her, I would never bring it up again. But like, she brought it up more.
The source. It's like, consider this. Look at Teresa. Consider the source. Like, you can just keep saying that and it will not, like, everybody kind of laughs at Teresa for so many different reasons that you could brush that off easily.
Totally. That's like, I would be like, oh, come, like, I don't know, but I'm a pretty non-dramatic person. Hence why I love watching these crazy people, because it's the opposite of me in real life. But I think she's kind of helped extend how long it's been, like 3 episodes already, 4 that we're still talking about it.
Yeah. So, like she told her kids one episode about it while she was cutting their hair. I almost fell asleep. She told her brother last week about it. And you know, it's like, it's kind of getting awkward for us. Is she going to like try to go like meet long distance cousins just so she can have a scene to tell them about what happened to her? Like, I'm enough with telling, I know what happened.
Worst to me was the dinner. I'm like, why are you making another speech? Like, why is this continuing? That speech was so, and it was so weird. She's like, I feel like we didn't get to celebrate his birthday. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You didn't even know this was happening at your party. You had a great time. Why are you having a second party? It's not like said at the party, but it didn't ruin her party.
It's like they're also, it's like the other party that's like seems nonstop is Carrie Brittingham's 50th birthday party on Real Housewives of Dallas. We get a new birthday party for her every episode. It's very unique. And yes. I'm so over it. Like, I'm like, I get that you're 50, but at a certain point, can we get back to life at all?
I know. It reminds me of the SNL character that I'm 50 when she used to act and kick.
Oh, yeah. Molly Shannon.
Molly Shannon. Yeah, that's all I thought of with Carrie and the 50 that she kept doing.
Since we are all going around the world here with a bunch of topics, you guys, I want to hit you with one that just came out within the last couple of hours. We got video. I know Bravo and Cocktails initially posted it. I saw it on your story, where we have Brandi Redmond, or what appears to be Brandi Redmond's husband. You can tell because he has a weak chin. He is supposedly what looks like a packed nightclub, and he's kind of kissing a girl on the lips. Is that what we're seeing?
Yeah, that's what I saw. I always, you know, I try to keep my page not to be a gossipy page for the most part. Sometimes I post some headlines, something like that. I was like, I will just post my stories. I don't want.
But this isn't, wait, this, but it's not, but gossip. You're showing, you didn't make a comment on it. We're seeing with our eyes something happen.
Yeah, so that's why I was like, we'll put it in the stories. I was like, they can go back to Bravo and Cocktails page. But yeah, that's what I saw. It definitely looked like Brandy's husband.
What's his name again? I always forget. Brandi Redmond's husband. Tim.
Oh my gosh, now I can't remember at all.
Redhead, a little bit of a ginger. It's fine. It's just, he's a husband of. That's all we need to
know. Yeah, husband of. I'm going to find it really fast. What I read right before we started talking is that was from 2018. Brian, I knew it was with a B. Brian,
okay.
Yes.
Would not have guessed that. Great. Brandon, I would not have guessed that.
I knew it was close to Brandy's name. But that video, look, there's no way that could be during the pandemic. I hope not. So it looked like someone said they thought it was from 2018. So that this happened around the time when they adopted potentially the third baby, because I know there's been long term.
Well, that's the big rumor.
We've
talked about this on the podcast multiple times about that was a rumor that was out there, a blind item. I think it was on Des Moines, and then NT, I think, posted it as well. And it said that a current housewife, you know, it'll be revealed soon that one of their children is not, you know, she is not the mother or something like that. Right.
Yeah. I don't remember the specific details. I definitely never want to get too in the weeds on what I think of, you know, about a poor baby, but all I can say is that it's really hard to adopt an infant, and it seemed really easy for them to adopt an infant. Now, I don't know if they went more into details, but from my knowledge of adoption, I think it can be an extremely long and difficult process. And this seemed very easy for them to be like, oh, someone called and they just had a baby. You want it? Like, that's how they made a team.
Well, and the other thing is they managed to adopt a baby that looks exactly like the father.
Yeah.
The baby has the exact, very similar features as the mm-hmm. father. So that rumor's been out there for about a month, I think, a month or so. And then it's kind of an interesting turn of events. So Brandy has had a very tough season. A lot of it by her own hand is that, you know, she's not going up against Tiffany Moon, who I just love so much.
Love her.
You know, she's such a class act to the point where I don't even know why she's on the show. I'm like, why do you want this? You know, are you sure you want this?
And she's one of those. There's been a few housewives where I'm like, do you need to be on here? Of almost like recent ones that they picked. Like,
yes.
I think like Wendy, I'm like, you're too good for this. Like,
or Leva from Southern Charm.
Yes.
Or,
yes.
Or even Sierra, I thought, until this past week's episode, and she started going in on all of her problems with men and stuff. And I was like, no, you belong here. Like,
Sierra's,
I was like, no,
bedroom
you're gonna
has led me to believe why she belongs
there's,
there.
There's the chaotic
putting the clothes away. It's like, yep, okay. There is
a chaotic girl. I love, yeah, you're gonna fit in perfectly. but it is interesting. Also, you guys, what happened about a month ago, too, is that Brandy, we covered it on this show, Brandy retired or quit the show, and through an Instagram post said she is no longer going to be participating in the show. She put like a Bible verse, you know, her love of God got her through everything. And it's been such a wonderful journey. So that was kind of not suspect, but interesting because it tied into that rumor, we thought. And then Stephanie Holman from the show interacted with some fans and said, no, that is definitely an adopted baby. And she would never lie about this, but that's her best friend, right? You have to lie for your best friend.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Whatever Brandy has been through, I do feel really bad if this video is 100% her husband, because that's just awful. No one wants that. They have four children. She just had another baby. Like, this is, whoever sent this video to anyone or released this, like, especially if this is from 2 years ago, you really picked a time to release this that I don't know. I wouldn't feel good about it. Like, if someone had sent this to me, I don't know if I could have pass this along. But
if you guys watch Real Housewives of Dallas, I don't expect anything from it, so I really enjoy watching it, and I recap it on the Patreon. But you notice, you watch it every week, Brandy does not seem like she's doing well.
No,
like, she is in a different show entirely.
Yeah, they really haven't shown her much. Like, if you think of like sidebars, like, yeah, she's been at the group things, but they really have kind of cut back on how much they've shown her family, her kids. She does not seem as happy and bubbly and carefree as she had in other seasons. Cause that's a show I recently during COVID binged, cause I hadn't really watched much of it and everyone kept yelling at me. And I was like, fine, I'll watch another Housewives. Now I have all eight under my belt. I watched them all.
Throw that on the old resume.
Yeah. Okay, fine. We can add Dallas. Yeah. I'm working on Below Deck right now. So.
I love Below Deck, and we'll get to Below Deck Sailing Yacht in a second. But I do think it is interesting in this past like week's episode or last, you know, it ended the week before with her asking Tiffany, like, you know, I'm uncomfortable to be myself around you. Do you? And Tiffany going, what? Like, I completely excited. And Tiffany even listed out her qualities. I think you're funny. I think you're a good dancer. I think you're beautiful. All of this stuff. And Tiffany goes, what do you think of me? And like, Brandy is so self-consumed with her own thoughts about herself that it's making it hard for her to interact or relate with anybody that is not Brandy. And so when she sees Tiffany, it is actually a representation of a different culture she made fun of. So she's never getting to know the real Tiffany. And we saw Tiffany break down and cry and leave the party early, leave one of Carrie's 50th birthday party. She made it to most of them early, because imagine if you had to walk around and be somebody's lesson of like, you're not even looking at me, you're just looking at my ethnicity, you know?
No, it's awful. I was so shocked when Brandy said that to her and chose that moment, especially in that weekend, to say that to her. And whether she communicated right what she actually meant, I don't think she did, but I felt so bad for Tiffany in that moment, because it just is like, great, again, here we go. We're we're discussing my culture and my heritage, like it's a bad thing, and that I'm doing something wrong just by existing. And that's basically what Brandy was saying.
It is weird. I do wonder the perception of these ladies when they film something or go into filming, like they can't, I mean, I just imagine, like, do they think they look good in these scenes? Do they think they like
some of them?
Like, it's like, and I bet I would love to interview them as soon as an episode airs. And like, do you see what we saw? Like, do you see that's not a great look? Do you like, I would love to know if they're aware of what, how it plays or like what their behavior actually looks like, you know?
I call them though, they're the double downers who, if they see it and then they still don't apologize, I'm like, they're never going to get it. It's nothing. I am all for, you make a mistake, it's fine. But when they come back and they double down on it, I'm like, oh, that's when I'm like, the delusion is real. I can't believe you're not seeing the full picture of something.
I feel like we're a society of double downers. I feel like that's what we've turned into, is that nobody is ever wrong. Like,
I
bet Brandy's husband, if that allegedly is him in the video, he'll be like, definitely not me. Definitely. It's a deep fake that is digitally. George Lucas made that to get back at me, you know?
I was thinking about that with Atlanta when they were talking about who leaked the story to the press and everything like that. And I was like, man, just one time I would love a housewife to be like, yep, it was me. I called Radar, suck it. Like, I have always wanted someone to say that and admit that.
Danielle, wouldn't it be funny if that happened and you just like, you see a camera drop because even the cameraman's shocked of like, oh my God, somebody just admitted it. You know?
I mean, I would love that. That would be the most shocking moment if Housewives actually was like, yeah, I did do it. I did leak it to the press.
Oh my God, you've got to find a way. No one's ever done that. You've got to find a way to make that meme. You've got to find a way to make that meme. That is so funny. Yeah, one day I really would love a show where we get the cameramen of Housewives, and it's just like a story of their stories. Like, wouldn't you love to hear the people behind the cameras go, yeah, we were at this dinner and then, you know, this girl just threw her fake leg. Like, I had to get a quick shot of it. And I didn't know what was happening. They're telling me to get the leg. I'm seeing that, you know, like, wouldn't you love to hear that?
Yes. I would kill for like a cameraman, someone who's been there for all of it, to come and tell us the behind the scenes stuff. The camera crew I'm most impressed by is Below Deck, because I don't understand when they sleep, how there's enough space for them and their cameras to be on these boats, how they're not seasick because they're carrying it. I just finished, or I'm almost done with season 4, and that's the first time I ever saw a cameraman at all, because a guest threw up on the cameraman, if you remember, from an upper deck down to the lower, and that camera guy happened to be underneath it. That's the first cameraman I've seen in like 7 seasons of watching Below Deck. I don't get how they're not accidentally like in the background being filmed. Like, I need
because there's multiple camera people on.
Yeah.
Well, I know a little bit, like, is that I do know another boat follows them. So, and that is like one of the primary boats for the actual crew of the actual show filming. And then the other thing is they wear earpieces, because you'll be like, how did they know to like get the camera ready for over? Because like sometimes there'll be a walk and talk, or they'll like set up something in a completely different area and they'll be able to catch it. So there is like a mic, like a earpiece situation where they'll be like, Gary's coming to you right now. Be prepared for Gary.
Oh,
you know?
That's so interesting. I know there's a big New York Times article about it that came out a while ago, but I've been waiting to read it until I finish
all of it,
because I don't want there to be like any spoilers or anything in it. But that talks about how they film it and the logistics of the show.
I would just, my worst nightmare though is to have like a what are those, like the black and white or whatever the cameras, like the night vision cameras they have in their bedrooms.
I would hate to
have a camera seeing me crawl in and out of bed with my undies. And like, I mean that, and it's a part that they're obsessed with. They never don't show them getting in and out of bed.
They try to
get as many underwear shots with girl. It's almost too much, where I'm like,
yeah,
this isn't cool, but it's like an essential part of Below Deck lore, I think. So you haven't done Below Deck Med yet then, have you? You're just on
I've been watching back and forth between regular Below Deck and Below Deck Med.
Are you a Captain Sandy girl or a Captain Lee girl?
Captain Glenn, possibly the most favorite.
Captain Glenn, you guys, Below Deck Sailing Yacht, Captain Glenn. He is a nice breath of fresh air.
He's like a little peanut. He's like 5'5".
He's so very cute. Compact. He's like,
God, he's so cute. He's like the perfect combo almost of like a Lee and a Sandy. Like,
I suggest
I love Captain Lee. Do not get me wrong. I absolutely love Captain Lee. He seemed very off this past season.
Yeah, I mean, his son passed away. And
I still have a few more Captain Lee-led seasons to watch. I haven't seen, I think his name is Josiah. I have not watched his season yet. That's season 6. I haven't gotten to that. And Med, oh, there's parts where I love Sandy. And I'm like, she's so kind.
And then you hate her.
And she like lets them, the deck crew always like drive the boat. Like to me, she's much more welcoming of like giving responsibility sometimes compared to Lee. I've never seen him do that really. But then sometimes, oh my God, she is just
the
so
Hannah, the
unreasonable.
Hannah, Malia, the Hannah and Malia and Sandy stuff. I lost so much respect for Captain Sandy during that whole experience. I was just like, this is so weird to watch. This is just not right. And like, Malia and Sandy pumping each other up. But at the same time, it was one of my favorite seasons of Below Deck Med to watch. Like, what is your theory? Do you have a similar feeling on that? Is that, well, part of a Bravo program, part of the experience is disliking somebody or,
yes,
you know,
you
or being
to.
On the balance, you know?
You have to. When you can't fire all the villains and you, I love when people be like, they're like,
get rid of them.
I will die on this hill. I am a Tamara fan. I did not want her to be fired. I never understood why people hated her. And now all of a sudden everyone's like, oh, right. She was vital. You needed her. But when people get so mad at the person with the drama, I'm like, well, if they're not there, what are we watching?
Exactly.
Like you have to have.
God, it's essential. You can't watch 7 people get along. And you got to have strong personalities to balance out. It's like you guys know, I don't watch sports, but I know that there is a team and I know that different people on the team do different things. That's exactly how Housewives should be. There should be strengths and weaknesses for each character. And part of, like everybody says, normalize disliking somebody and not wanting them to be fired.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think of the Housewives.
Except for Jax.
Yeah. Yeah. There's the line where it's like, okay, they're absolutely adding nothing to the show. And
you've served your purpose.
It's like, if I was to use my father who played basketball and was my basketball coach forever, everything in my life growing up was a sports reference. I would think of Housewives as like a basketball team. So you have 5 on the court. Most of the time it's like 5 or 6 people. And you have the point guard who's like, you know, your main, like I would call like Kyle Richards would be like the point, you know, like, or Giselle might be like the kind of leader in the front. And then you're surrounded by the team players. And then you have your bench players who like are the friend of, and there's always one person not doing their job to help the team out or causing a ruckus. And yeah. It's
Danielle,
just,
by the way, you've just explained sports more to me than any man in my life. Like I have not.
Okay. So there's a power forward.
I was like, what is this? This guard? What?
Team captain. But it's like, I feel like the two people you cannot bring up at all, people lose their mind over, is like Giselle and Robin. Like, I don't understand the intense hate that people have for those two because I really like them. And people go nuts if there's any post or anything about them. It's like, you cannot bring that, especially if you bring Monique into it. It is like, you can no longer,
Oh, the Monique again has almost tore all of us apart.
It's crazy.
It took Bravo Nation down almost. It is interesting though, because I was part of the people that I just don't like people that feed off each other. And then they like put their light, like, also I don't like it. Cause I loved Karen so much. Karen Huger, you guys, I love her so much that I feel like Giselle and Robin, when they get together, they team up on Karen and they kind of make fun of her. And
yeah,
like,
they do. They can be
don't make
Karen
fun
sometimes.
Of somebody that is like trying to do their thing and is proud of where they are a little bit later in life than you ladies. You will be there one day. And especially for Giselle, I was like, you need to clean your own house before you get into anybody else's house. The fact that Jamal stuff went down and we still do not have any clue, like something is not adding up. Either you were in a fake relationship or you're in a real relationship and he has just zero respect for you, as he seems like he did in the entirety of your actual relationship, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And I like, though, I've always liked Robin outside of,
yes, yeah,
like her relationship with Giselle. I try to look at all of the Housewives as individuals, but then people also seem to have issues when people are like too buddy buddy, like you know, I didn't love Teddy, but like, I never thought Teddy and Kyle's relationship was weird.
Well, no, because just Teddy to me is like Teddy's air. Like, it's like toilet paper. It's like, you know, it's like whatever.
Yeah, that he was just there.
He was just there. There was never really any. The funniest thing with Teddy was being when she was like shocked about Brandy and Denise potentially hooking up. She'd be like, did they kiss? Oh my God.
True, true.
Yeah, like, oh my God. And also Robin and back to our favorite Juan. I thought they had one of the best scenes towards the end of the season when they went to therapy that one time and they talked about the struggles they had been through and how much work they had been through. And I got like, that's when you know you're so invested in Bravo, where like, I was like tearing up. I was like, this is, look at these people. They're making it work. You know, they didn't give up on this thing.
Nothing made me cry more than early seasons of Jersey. I used to cry a lot at Jersey.
Why?
Because of the, when Teresa and Joe were fighting, and it was like, you could really feel the pain of whatever they put themselves through. And then the loss of parents and then going to jail. Like, it was like, to me, Jersey as a franchise has always been the most intense because of its familial, like, family ties.
Well, there's a, there's
which
a,
makes there's, another yes. layer. It's not just a loss of a friendship. This is their brother, you know, the father, and then losing their mom. Like, there has just been some real, real life intense moments and coming together too. Joy. Like, I felt very happy too when they all get along. Like,
I think it really highlights, it highlights Italians in a way of like just that family bond. It gives that such a foundation, just like Salt Lake City has like religion as a backdrop. The Italian is a backdrop in Jersey. And it just shows you that Italians, for better or worse, it is all about family. And that is why everything is life or death. I mean, if you think about that season when Joey Gorga and Melissa were introduced on the show at the christening, like, you remember the passion.
We don't talk about the christening enough.
I mean, well, but it is you guys.
It was insane. It was insane.
I watch Godfather 1, Godfather 2, and then I'll watch the christening. I'll just skip Godfather 3 entirely because you see Joey Gorga, like, you, my dad always takes Joe. Did she see, like, I mean, we're tears. There's a fight breaking out. I mean, it is one of the most, if you guys haven't watched, go back. You do not need to watch the seasons before it, even though they're amazing. Start on that one. You will be blown away. And it gives the rest of what happens afterwards. It is like the Godfather saga.
I know. And well, me being from New York, I feel like, and Long Island of New York, where many of like my friends are Italian, I felt like I always really understood the Jersey Northeastern Italian-ness that is that show, because that's a lot of people that I knew growing up.
That's why I do miss Caroline Manzo too, is because I enjoyed her family dynamic mixed in with the other family dynamics, and you got to bring the brownstone into it where, you know, her husband ran, and like, it was just one of those things that
it was super family because it wasn't even just Teresa and then Joe with Melissa. Like you said, you had Caroline, whose brother was Chris, who was married to Jacqueline. And
oh my God, Chris, it was like Chris LaRita selling black BLK water. Come on.
Yeah. The layers of family on that show were not just one set of families. It was two. So,
Danielle, I'm not a pro in business, and I don't know if you are, but let me put a theory or just a question out there to you, is if you had a product and you knew you were going to be on TV and you knew that's like free advertising, would you make sure before you went on to another season of that TV that there was enough of that product that you would not have to worry about getting it out to people during a pandemic? That would be the one. Wouldn't that be, I'm not a business major, wouldn't that be the one thing you would be concerned of, is we should have the actual product?
Yeah. So I can tell you're talking about Lover Boy.
What? No. I'm not trying to talk about specific names here, but yeah, Kyle with Lover Boy. I see Lover Boy all around the house. Is all the stock in the summer house?
It might be. I think what happened, because I mean, they've had the company for a while now. It's been over a few seasons, and I'm not sure what, I think just people drinking a lot more in the pandemic made it blow up, and people be like, oh, let me try this. And I think that's what made it go crazy, because I've tried two of the flavors and I did really like it. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, I liked one of the flavors a lot, but it's hard when you can't get it.
Yeah.
Like if you can't get it, it doesn't matter if I like it now. Yeah. And the funny thing is, it's like, well, according to the show, Loverboy merchandise is easier to get than the actual product. And Amanda, your favorite, is in charge of all that marketing and merchandising. And it seems like it's like, I'll drink one of those sweatshirts. I don't care. Like
oh God, the sweatshirts are so cute.
They really
I
are.
The shirt and I've wanted to buy like 8 other things that they've put out.
So I kind of want to. It still works on me. I kind of want to get one. And then I know.
I think for them too, for so long, like I was saying, like he built this up. Like I remember early on, it was like, they were begging people to put it in the stores. And now all of a sudden it's flipped on them. And it's like, oh my God, wait, we don't have enough product.
Who knows? I just feel like that's the easiest.
They come from China and then they couldn't, you know, customs issues, production issues.
It's, I guess, but it just
same thing
like
happened.
Easiest...
Giselle said to her company, Giselle's Every Hue Beauty.
Are you comparing Giselle's company to Kyle's company?
No, I'm just saying, I think she was in Target actually, but
oh, okay. I
didn't
know.
From what I remember, she said at the reunion that because of manufacturing issues, I don't know if the whole company is totally done or what, but it seemed that they had a lot of issues with if you're like, I wonder if the clothes are made in America, but if parts of the drink is not, and that might've been issues.
Would you buy Karen Huger perfume?
Not for the $75. I would not.
Okay. Would you buy Vicky Gunvalson perfume if I told you it was at Ross for $8.99?
Definitely. I would also buy Vicky's vodka if anyone ever found that.
Vicky's vodka is a collector's item. I've never seen a Vicky's vodka bottle, but I do have my own bottle of Vicky Gunvalson perfume.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It smells like fake cancer scares and Kodo insurance, whatever that smells like. No, it is funny. The packaging is really nice. I feel like a fancy guy when I wear it out.
I looked at La Dame and it's like $70. And I can't smell that before buying it. Even if I could smell it, I still don't think I would buy it.
Oh my God. I was talking to Luke from Summer House on the podcast a couple weeks ago, and he has a perfume and a cologne out now on his website.
Does.
And he was like, he goes, a real person that does cologne reached out to him and they created a scent together. And he was just like, I just never thought I would be, you know, able to do something like this. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, that's what happens when you're a good looking guy. People just go, do you want to do a cologne? You know, like,
yeah. Does it smell like firewood and womanizing or something? Is that like the scent?
It smells like hockey and not wearing a shirt indoors. Back to your account, though, your account, which once again, Brands by Bravo is the account. Go follow her. She's at 25K. So she doesn't even need you, but go follow her. I want to talk a little bit about the account in one of a couple things. One of the first things is the last time we talked, it was because of Erica Girardi or Erica Jane. What had happened, you guys? It was a fascinating story where she had posted, it was like a Pink Ladies, right?
Yeah.
What was it exactly?
It was that pink jacket that Erica and Lisa Rinna all showed up at Erica's house wearing. And then Robin on her own season, which was actually filmed before Beverly Hills, but we saw it after Beverly Hills. She also wore the same jacket dress.
So you posted that. It was a great, you know, it was great. And then Erica Jane... I don't know who she learned just stealing from people from, but she took it and posted it on her account. But the thing is, she didn't give credit. And credit is a huge thing in any community, but especially an online meme or Instagram account, you know, is that you don't just post somebody else's meme without giving them credit. You don't cut out their watermark. You don't do shady stuff like that, because a lot of work, even though it's silly and it's meant for a laugh, a lot of work does get put into it. So you rightfully so said, oh my God, I'm a huge fan, Erica. Could you give me, could you, well, what did you say?
I think I just asked her to, what happened was I posted it at night and then I went to bed and I woke up and like an hour after I posted it, she reposted it and took my caption, but didn't like mention anything. And at the time I had like 5,000 followers, like itty bitty, you know, chugging along, like I was like, holy shit, I love Erica. Like, this is insane. So just like asked her to tag me and she like flipped out and was really mean. And
didn't she say something like, well, why don't you do something worth posting?
And yeah, she said, make something like create something interesting and then I'll tag you. It was just the strangest response. I never even thought she would write back to me, but I figured it had to like due diligence. Like, hey, I did this. Could you tag me? Or like,
another person that doubled down,
and I still can't really understand what I think. It was just like everybody saw what she wrote, and like it was like the meme community came together because everybody started, this is not right, this is not good.
We all reposted it, and the positive, you did get a influx of new followers from
it was insane, like, and I was just like really working my job.
Like, which has got to be insane when your phone just starts blowing. You're like, I'm used to getting like 100 likes and all of a sudden I'm getting like 1,000 likes.
Yeah, my husband was in his office, which is just like down the hall from where I'm working at home. And like, I'm like, something's happening right now. Like, I'm trying to do work and my phone, like, I don't understand. The number keeps going up. Like, what's happening? And then at the time, I literally probably had only told like 4 friends I even had this account. Like, I created it because I love Bravo and none of my real life friends do. Like, and I was so sick of like having no outlet for all of this. So I had to be like, by the way, guys, I have an account and it's going viral. And I had to tell my parents. I'm like, there's an article in People in Page 6. Like, but then my mom was like, don't get sued. And I was like, I didn't do anything.
Mom, Dad, I'm potentially in a war with Erica Jane. Yeah. Who's Erica Jane? Yeah.
My mom does watch Bravo, so she knew who Erica was. But yeah, it was.
Wouldn't it be crazy if your mom took Erica Jane's side? She's Erica should be able to do whatever she wants, darling.
My mom's favorite is Lisa Rinna. She's absolutely obsessed with her and her hair.
I disagree with your mom's choice on that one.
My mom's a soap opera watcher, so she has loved Rinna well before. And Eileen, like, she knew
Eileen
those
Davidson
two women.
Is iconic. That is iconic. Well, what does she think of Denise Richards? Because Denise Richards is currently on a soap opera.
I think she was okay with her. She watches The Young and the Restless and General Hospital. And I know Eileen is definitely on one because I was at home and she had it on. I was like, holy shit, it's Eileen. And like, got really excited.
Does your
she
mom
was like
call
back
them,
on my screen.
Does your mom call them her stories? Like, I need to watch my stories.
No.
That's what my grandma
I joke
used
with
to
her
know.
On that, but no. She doesn't call it that. But yeah, she watches some Bravo.
The thing that I was thinking about most, though, is that she was so angry towards it and so snide and like just really gross and not really even take. But then I was wondering, like, do you ever wonder if that was right around the time she was finding out everything about what was about to happen with Tom Girardi?
It might be. And I have a fantasy in my head that somehow, like, you know, when they show like news articles that like somehow the story is going to be in the season of Beverly Hills and I will literally never recover if even like one slight mention of it is brought up. Like,
you're a part of history.
Did you see her flip out on a fan account? Like, it was just the strangest thing. But a lot of people were like, damn, bitch showed her true colors. Like,
The majority of, I mean, at least on my end, was like, F you, Erica Jane. And, you know, the thing is, that's the time to double down on being nice and being nice to everybody and saying, great work. Thank you for including me in this. I love this. Instead of being snide and rude, it's like, if bad things are happening to you, it just makes us, it's just such a weird thing. Have you been following all the Girardi drama and all of that stuff?
Yeah, as much as I can. There's so much, I feel like, information that comes out and does not seem, you know, last I read, I think with Tom with Alzheimer's, and it's very, the whole story is just, it's really sad. And I don't know how they're going to spin this in a direction that's going to make me want to watch it and not just feel like,
that's the face I have. There was an interview this week or something, I think in the last couple of days, that said, that this will be Erica Jane's storyline. She will be dealing with the divorce on this season. I'll believe it when I see it. But
yeah,
it also says she will say as much as she's legally allowed to say. And I'm like, you probably legally aren't allowed to say anything.
No one hypes up a season more and then disappoints them the last 3 seasons of like Beverly Hills, where they're like, it's going to be amazing, crazy drama. And then the past 2 seasons have not been anything special.
If I ever meet Andy Cohen in real life, I will make a citizen's arrest, because he should not be like able to pump up ever like, this season's amazing. And then it's like, OC. I'm like, what? What are you talking about?
Yeah. But also, like, people ask him if it's good or not. He's not going to say it's shit. But so it I don't know what they want.
But wouldn't it be, but just like I said, would it
like
be
the Radar Online?
The Radar Online. What do you goes? It is. It's not good. It's not good.
Everyone wants everyone to be honest and open all the time.
I know.
So have to, you know, do that.
I just love the fact that potentially you could like make that, draw that comparison of Erica Jayne taking from you and stealing, and Tom Girardi potentially stealing from his clients. It's like, did Tom teach Erica Jayne just to take memes without credit?
I don't know. And I know Kyle knows about it because
why?
Because I talk like, so if you remember in the thing, then Erica like tagged Kyle and said like Kyle took the photo and it like didn't make sense. And then I posted something later and Kyle reposted it. And like we've in DM like a few times and she just was like, I don't want any part of it. And I was like, no kidding. I wouldn't either. Like, don't worry.
Could you say, can I quote you on that?
Yeah. I was like, can I share? No. But she was really nice. And then the only funny thing I did was I figured might as well shoot my shot when it happened. And I asked Robin, I was like, can I buy the pink dress from you or would you give it to me? And she was like, maybe I'll think about it. But then I felt too weird. So I didn't follow up with it past that.
Okay. Let me ask this.
I tried to buy it, but it's a very expensive dress.
What would you have offered Robin? What would have been your low ball offer before she made a counter offer? What would you have gone in with?
I don't know. It depends on the size too. Cause if it didn't fit me, then I definitely,
but also you
like
don't want to offend Robin too. So you can't say $50.
No, maybe like 200.
Interesting. I love that.
I work in education. So the budget isn't quite, it's not a high budget.
Well, you put that underneath the offer. I work in education.
Yeah. I think I did say that. I was really like, you know, but Robin is also, she's another, it's so interesting. I find the housewives who are very interactive, comment often, will DM you. Versus the ones who I've literally never seen them interact with a fan account, like ever. Atlanta Housewives, I find, don't respond to things.
Atlanta Housewives sometimes think their shit doesn't stink because they've been around so long.
And they have the highest viewers. But I don't think I've ever talked to an Atlanta Housewife. Like I don't see their comments pop up and things compared to like, you always see like Heather from Salt Lake City is very interactive. Leah is on social media a lot. Like you can tell who really runs their account, Kyle too, and who maybe someone else runs it for them. Dorit is another one. I don't see her interact. She doesn't seem to have much fan interaction.
You know,
one time
she did, just because I was at Dorit's room at Buca di Beppo and she put that thing on her stories like lickety split.
Oh, that's good to know.
Like she was very like, look at me bringing in business to the Buca franchise, you know? in terms of, I do consider Instagram an art form. I do consider it something that is just a really cool experience for, us being able to create and for the people that potentially view it. What, this might sound silly, but what determines you were talking earlier about reposting Bravo and cocktails on your story. What determines for you, what makes a post and what makes a story?
That's a good one. I try to only post like once a day because I don't want to be,
really?
Have enough like content to do more than that. That's like a hard one to do more than once a day. Some accounts post like five times a day. And I'm like,
But I mean, I'll have like five ideas in a row and I just need to get them out of my head. So I just make a really crappy meme real quick, you know?
Yeah. Some memes take 2 seconds. Some, you know, I mull over. It's like just whatever pops into my head. I try to keep my page like only the most crazy breaking news that like must be shared type thing. Funny like video clips, relevant to whatever's like currently on or just like some sort of joke. And stories, I think I'm a bit more personal. I think I show like a little bit more of myself on there that I like never do on the actual page. A lot of the times I like post while I'm watching the TV shows at night.
You post your wine that you drink?
I post my wine reviews, yes, which people love to give me and I thoroughly enjoy sharing. I think I'm just more open in the stories because I feel like people who watch that, I don't know, you have more of like a connection or trust with them, if that's weird, because
totally.
Like, I literally, I answer every DM. Like, if you DM me,
oh my God,
I will answer. I will
thank
you.
Oh my God, it's like the worst. I'm the worst.
I like have to, I'm a zero notification person. Like on my emails, like my phone, like there's no notification. So I can't sit there and have something. I see everything.
If you ever get done with your messages and want to log into my account and go through my, I'm the kind of guy that I get so nervous that I let it pile up then because I want to create a bigger mess. I just give up. I throw my hands in the air. I'm just like, I'm putting out a podcast. But is there, I always do this kind of like, I have this fantasy of like a bunch of us meme makers hanging out with like Paul McCartney and he's like, you know, I wrote yesterday in like 30 minutes. It just came to me and we'll be like, oh yeah, I did a Jax meme in like a minute. It was amazing. Like, you know, we're talking about our art. Do you consider it an art form? Do you consider it more than just what
it is? Consider comedy an art form? You know, it's to me the same sort of thing. It's crafting a joke for the most part, or coming up with, I feel like recently, I didn't even mean to do this. Like my last post have been about like fake real shows that I wish Bravo would make. You know, it's so, you know, there's thought and effort and intent behind it. I try not to spend too much time, but sometimes like you said, sometimes it's like 2 seconds I got, and I never know what's going to be hit or miss.
Also, you can always blame the algorithm. You can always blame
time.
The algorithm. It's all good. It's like, well, you know, or you can be like, this was ahead of its time. This was the people are not ready for this yet. I'm assuming if you have Excel spreadsheets or when you first started the account, you did. Do you have those ideas that you're working on for like 6 months of like, it's in the back of my head and I just got to get the right, you know,
anymore. Now it's like, I also have a problem. Like I forget I have any sort of platform and it's not just like me talking to like 3 people. Like I don't put, I just like interacting with people. I like talking to people and I love Bravo. If my account grows, that's amazing. But like I work a full-time job. I have no intention of ever being like an influencer. Like that is not a goal of mine or anything. Like if everyone unfollowed me tomorrow and I'd be left with 5 people, don't unfollow me. But if you did, I'd be
guys,
okay.
You heard it here first. Unfollow away. She gives you the approval.
I should say my thought and intent is not what's going to get the most likes and follows or anything like that. It's what makes me laugh.
That was going to be
what I think is important to share.
You know, and my next question is if you feel a lot of pressure to this one's got to get 1,000 likes. The last one did. Do you feel that? And does it hurt you if it doesn't? Sometimes
no.
I will confuse. I will be that person that confuses Instagram love with real love, you know, like, no, not in a joking way. It's an unhealthy thing.
Yeah.
But I didn't know if sometimes you were like that as well.
No, I'll just be like, oh, well, like I thought it was funny. Like that's kind of my take on it. The areas I try to tread lightly or do worry about is if it's anything too controversial or, definitely at the height of when the election was, you know, the account is for fun with a side of some social awareness, and definitely not ignoring social things that are going on. But I'm not going to argue with people about these things. So I don't want to make, it's like a fine line of like where to draw the line, because I want to support certain stuff, but also like, I know the purpose of most who follow me is not for political reasons.
Well,
people
will let you know that pretty much immediately. So you really do choose, you have to choose, I don't know, carefully which hill you die on. I think that also, I think there's a lot of accounts that really do it so well because they speak so well. Like me, I feel like I'm a bull in a china shop. I just go in, I'm brash. But like sometimes I might not be like all the things I believe in, you'll see, or if you hear the podcast, you'll know immediately. But I'll say, like, I said something during the insurrection and I lost like 350 people, you know, like 350 people just unfollowed me, thought I was a piece of shit, blah, 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 just for saying that I didn't think what was happening was right, you know? And I even sugarcoated that.
It's not that my fear is that there's still, like you were talking about, like anonymity. There's still a part of me that fears upsetting someone so much that they feel the need to Google me and find my boss and send an email.
Oh,
that's the side of me that still wants to not upset people to a certain degree and argue with people because it's still like in the public and people are nuts. I can think of what happened with Bravo Historian and
oh yeah.
You know, that to me like freaks me out a lot.
Oh yeah,
like,
Kelly Dodd picking, and by the way, Kelly Dodd tried to dox Bravo Historian and found the wrong Samantha Bush and like contacted her, the wrong Samantha Bush's employer. Like
exactly. So that's the part of it that really freaks me out on the internet. And that's more of the reason where I draw the line of I don't want to be involved with crazies or arguing and anything like that, because that's the side that I don't want.
Not really great. I'm not great at arguing. And also it gets me, I get bummed out real quickly. Like I get bummed out of like, I don't need everybody to agree with me, but I get bummed out when I see how divided we are, you know?
And yes. I'm trying to read comment sections less actually, because they make me really upset. I'm trying to read the less comment sections. It's not the post that upsets me. Then I see what people write and I'm like, oh my God.
But when people,
it's a cacophony
like,
of, anger. What did Tom Schwartz say at the time? A cacophony of Katie's voice. He described it. I think he just described it as a cacophony of sound or something.
Yeah, I'm sure, it was beautiful. But it is funny though. It's one of those things is that you don't also want to be told of like, shut up and just make your little memes.
Yes, like, which someone literally said to me this week and they go, I posted, something with the Chelsea Handler, Pierce Morgan.
Oh, yeah.
And she made something and they wrote, I hope you lose every conservative follower. And I'm like, if one story triggers you enough that you feel you cannot follow me, then I'm very, very sorry.
Imagine standing up for Pierce Morgan. I find that so interesting. This guy tried to take down everybody throughout the course of his career. He'll land on his feet. He's going to be fine. But I find that interesting. As we start wrapping up, you did this amazing thing on her account. This is why it's just such a great follow, is during the holiday time, you did like a countdown of
took a lot of effort actually when you were talking about effort put into
people
it.
What you did. Like this is really cool.
Yeah. I did I think I ran out of days. So I think I did like 22 of them. Post of trying to do like 25 days of facts. A lot of people were doing other countdowns. So I was trying to think of like a different type of one rather than just like 25 best moments or something like that. So I was Googling like an insane person to try to find interesting facts about different Bravo celebrities. And then each day leading up to Christmas was posting them. And that took a lot of time to make these, more than normal, I should say, because once I set myself up to make these leading up to Christmas, I was like, oh crap, I have to follow through with this and like make this an actual series and commit to this. And I think I started with like 8, and then just some of these I knew off the top of my head, others, Google is very helpful.
So it was kind of like the 21 day or like the, what did you call it? Was there something?
I just called it 25 days of facts.
25 days of facts.
So it was things like how Megan King Edmonds was on Say Yes to the Dress, or that Padma Lakshmi was in the movie Glitter, which I never.
I still haven't seen the movie Glitter. So I did. Is she a big character?
Somewhat. She's got like, it's like, you know, it's her. Basically, it's like Mariah Carey's hired to be her like backup singer, but Padma like is a horrible singer.
Oh, Padma Lakshmi plays a pop singer in Glitter. Yeah. I'm already in. I'm sold. This sounds amazing. Yeah.
Or like how Stassi was on Amazing Race with her family.
Daniel, isn't that funny? Like, or isn't that fascinating? How a lot of these Bravo celebrities like have had brushes with other reality shows on different networks. There, like, it's like Stassi really fell
on two.
She was on 3 because she was on this other one on the CW,
Queen Bees.
Yeah, so 3 reality shows.
Oh, sorry, 3 with Vanderpump. Yeah. I was counting like before Vanderpump. Yeah, it's very strange. I feel like it's such an anomaly to get on a reality show. Like, how many people actually end up on one? And that to be on more than one. People forget also Denise Richards had a reality show before she was on Beverly Hills.
I'd completely forgotten about that.
VH1. I did too until her dad was in a scene. And I was like, why do I know what Denise Richards' father looks like? And then I was like, oh my God, she had, I think it was only one season that she had a reality show just on her. I forgot what it was called. But yeah, these people, especially the Vanderpump Rules kids, they were all in the Hills.
Yeah, you saw Sandoval on the Hills. Sheena was on the Hills.
Landon from Southern Charm was on the Hills.
The Hills was a real starting spot. It's, the Hills is what SNL was for young comedians. You know,
Taylor Armstrong was on The Hills.
Oh my God, I didn't know that.
Yeah. She was in, I think I might have posted that one. She was like someone's date or something at a club. It's a very short scene, but those were, I think, the four that were on it.
That's genius. Oh my God.
But yeah, these people, they've been around. They have a lot of background history. And
were there any facts? Were there any facts that you discovered in the process of doing this? Of like, I need a really good fact. Is there something that surprised you other than the reality show once?
Yes, that Frederick was in some porn, because I haven't watched every season of Million Dollar Listing.
And Frederick from Million Dollar Listing was in.
Yeah, porn. And I believe that was talked about on the show, but I didn't know that. And he did some porn, and that just... blew my mind. No pun intended. Blew my mind.
Did you watch the porn to be a good journalist? Well, then you don't care about your account, obviously. You gotta take it serious. You gotta take it serious.
I didn't want to watch Swedish porn in the early 2000s.
What were the top five? And by the way, did you map this out so you could get to the number one? Like you knew.
No, it wasn't like an order from best to worst. But as I started to make it, the ones that I thought were like, damn, this is really good. I better save this. I'm trying to think. To me, my number one was that Denise Richards was in Love Actually. I totally forgot about that.
She is? I've seen that movie like a dozen times. I totally
Yes, she's
it.
Right. Okay. At the end, when he gets off the plane in America and he's like, meet my friend, and she like gets off the plane and has this like fringe white shirt, and it's like 1 minute of her.
That's a great fact.
Yeah, that one really, I did not know. Watching clips of Tinsley Mortimer's reality show was quite interesting.
High Society?
Yeah, I had never seen that.
Did you watch the entire season? It's all on YouTube.
No, I need to, but I watched episode one and like 5 minutes in, they're talking about like Harvey Weinstein. I'm like, oh man,
if you like
things that didn't age well.
If you like her mom, Dale on New York, you will love her in High Society. It is. She is so good. So good.
And then I think the one I had the most fun was honestly that Cam was on The Real World, because I watched her on The Real World San Diego, and that her being on Real World San Diego is the reason I watched Southern Charm season one, because I remembered her, because my friend and I, that was like one of our favorite seasons. We used to always say Brad. And then one of the other guys was like, Boom Bazooka Joe was like a thing he said. And like, we used to quote that season all the time.
How far do you go back with The Real World?
Before I was like technically allowed to watch it with my parents.
Which season was that? Like, do you remember which season you started with?
That was in 2004. I must have started, New York might have been one of my first, not the number one season. Cause I was like seven when that, cause I was like 90.
Yeah, I mean, did you do Hawaii?
Definitely watched Hawaii when they like jump naked in the pool.
I've got some big Hawaii news on the podcast coming up soon, you guys.
Oh, Vegas. The first Vegas was crazy when that girl thought she was pregnant. I remember that.
And then Trishelle with the threesome. Trishelle, remember that? Yeah.
That was like really like the first racy TV.
Yes.
I was like 13 and my dad was like, you are not allowed to watch the show. And I was like, hey, I'm going to sneak MTV anyway. Like, catch up reruns.
It really wasn't. That was one of what got me in love with reality shows. It started with The Real World for me.
Mine was Survivor.
Love Survivor as well.
It was my first, literally the first reality show I watched with my mom. I know I'm an anomaly, but I also am a Bachelor fan. So I watched. Oh,
I apologize for the time wasted from this past season. I'm so sorry what Matt James did to all of us. Did you stay up for the 3 hours last night?
I did. And it was really hard because I was really tired, but I knew I had to watch it live because it would be spoiled, because The Bachelor always gets spoiled. And I don't like to read spoilers of The Bachelor. But
did it happen how you thought it would happen?
Yeah, I knew from the second he was picked as a bachelor, he was not going to stay engaged.
Why?
To whoever he picked. Because he wasn't someone who had been through the process. And you have to go through the process to even have any faith in it to then get engaged. And I just never took him as someone, he's like an F-boy with Tyler Cameron. Like his lifestyle was never one that I was like, this is a guy who's looking to settle down. Like, no, never believed it.
There were parts last night. Did this infuriate you as well? Where I'm like trying to get to bed at a certain point. This guy's doing 2 minute pauses.
Oh my God. That was the most awkward, longest
And even at the after the final rose, they cut to commercial. He was pausing so long.
I did a lot of fast forwarding for the actual 2-hour episode because I watched it on. I started it late, and I have DVR because I can't stand commercials.
What did you think of Chris Harrison's replacement for after the final rose?
I thought he was amazing. Agreed. And I really would like to see him again. I was really thinking in my head, even if Chris Harrison hadn't been done his stupid interview and stepped aside, he could have never had as powerful a conversation as two Black men sitting up there having that conversation on primetime TV could have had. I'm glad Matt had the support of someone who understood some of what he went through versus Chris Harrison couldn't have done what Emmanuel did.
By the way, his name
is Emmanuel, I think.
Emmanuel Acho, I believe.
I thought it was Emmanuel.
I went in not wanting to like him, I'll be honest. And he won me over within the first 15 minutes. And by the end, I was like, I love this guy. Like, this guy has his own thing going and he's able to have these tough conversations. Didn't you love when he'd be like, would you like to give Matt a hug, seeing as you may never see him again in your life?
My friends and I were texting. We were absolutely dying. We're like, this is so dramatic. Like,
it was like, yes.
You will never see him again in your life. Chris Harrison could never do it.
But he was still respectful. But the 2-hour part, of the actual episode, I just got so tired of, like, you know, Matt James crying and then Chris Harrison coming up like, what's up, man? Like, he'd be like, what's up, brother? Like, it would like be like, hey, brother, let me communicate with you. He tried to hip himself up.
Sometimes. I know the way he greeted Matt always killed me, like giving him the bro handshake. He said, what's up, dude? And I was like, did he seriously just say that? I heard that. I'm excited Chris Harrison's out. I don't know why people are so obsessed with Chris. He's barely even in the show. So
well,
I'm excited
don't like
to
changes.
See,
people don't I know, like changes.
But I'm excited to see Tayshia and Caitlin and to see a woman supporting a woman going through this. Who has been through this?
I never thought, I didn't think about it from that perspective. That's great. And I don't like, I just, my thing is, I keep saying is that don't ever let your bosses see that your job can be done just as good and cheaper. So,
Definitely.
Part of me was like, do you think they're having two, they announced you guys, I announced it on the show today, they're having two Bachelorette seasons this year, which is just too much. Like, just make one good one. But do you think part of it is so that the second one, they'll have Chris back? And they're like, Chris, you didn't miss really anything, you know?
Maybe. Part of me, and this is just realistic part of me, is that someone was like, it should be Michelle. And they probably were like, we can't have two Black bachelorettes in a row. I truly could see them saying that. And then they were like, well, let's do Katie. And then it's a mix because that feels like, whoa, we're really stepping out there. I don't agree with that, if that is what was said, but I could really see them not wanting, because it was Tayshia not wanting to just
I love Tayshia. I love Michelle.
I'm glad she didn't end up.
See, I'm not in love with Michelle, but like, I'll see, for me, it's all
she's
gonna
just
come
pure
down.
Michelle. I didn't feel she was there for fame, for
you
anything.
For like Robin, you should see if you can reach out and get that basketball jersey she made for him.
It was so mean. Oh my God. I knew he was going to break up with her. And she's like, look, when mine's he, Mrs. When, James.
When he got it, the, so his eyes, he was like,
you could see it.
You could see he was like, shit, this is so real. I got to get out of this, you know?
Yeah. So I hope they cast good men for these women. I think they're both good women. I'm glad it's not a Southern Belle who loves Jesus as another pick. No offense to any of them, but that has been like the past few kind of type people from that they've picked. So I hope we don't get that again.
So as we wind down here, as we stop, actually, I just like, what is the last thing is, do you want, by the way, does your husband make fun of what you do?
No. Oh no. He's so nice and supportive. I actually just went to his office before we started. And I was like, honey, I'm 25. High five, don't grit. No. He's a big supporter of it. I mean, he's watched some. He knows Summer. He knows the
Summer House guys always like, guys, that's a good ladies out there.
I told you, we love Amanda.
If you're trying to get your guy into a Bravo show, start with Summer House. It's a great
and Vanderpump. He's watched a lot of Vanderpump with me.
Great gateway drug. Great.
Yeah.
What do you hope Bravo? We see a lot of stuff now about potentially Winter House, All Star Housewives. What do you hope? Are you excited about these additions and Bravo pivoting into a really kind of not exploiting but enticing the fan base that's already there?
I think so. I like it. You know, I like the idea of these. it almost feels like the Housewives are like Avengers, and we've all had our individual series, and give me like Avengers Endgame, like bring the universe, bring the Bravoverse together.
So you want people to die. You want people to actually die in the show. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, but then snap and then they come back. And then,
That's a deep cut for all you geeks out there.
Yeah, Andy is Thanos, maybe. And
what if the Infinity Rings are just like jewelries that like Kyle got stolen from or something, you know?
Yeah, like I would love to see them interact much more, because I think a lot of these ladies are friends across the franchises, and we have had so few crossover where you really think they're
ridiculous.
There would be more. So especially taking advantage of like the Winter House, like these kind of younger, you know, millennials, people my age, or that I like seeing them just as much as the Housewives, but I like that idea of combining it.
Did you see that Dumois thing where they potentially are casting for a show based around Leva's Republic on Southern Charm?
I did see that. And Vanderpump Rules will never be recreated. It can never be.
Well, it can never be recreated, but I will say Vanderpump Rules does not have a patent on hot bartenders. Like,
no.
On each other.
I should say more. You can't create an authentic group of people like that. So if Leva's restaurant doesn't have an authentic group of people with intermixing relationships in the way VPR did, not that it wouldn't be good, but other networks, E tried it with
the Abby one.
Yeah, the Abby one, like others have kind of tried it, and I just don't know if it's as interesting, if it's not, you know, the way that the weave was woven before, you know, even the first episode of Vanderpump aired.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to see whatever happens. I'm game for anything they can throw our way, and I just want them to get in the game. You know, I don't want TLC or Netflix or any of these other streaming services to overtake them when Bravo created so much of this genre that we love. So anything coming up for you that we need to support or be a part of?
On Saturday, I'm doing Instagram Live with Bravo. Oh my God, which I rarely do those. So I'm excited.
Oh yeah. Bravo. Oh my God. Another account that I keep meaning to get on the podcast. That's going to be at 5 PM Pacific Standard Time, 8 PM Eastern Standard Time. You just go to Bravo. Oh my God. Bravo OMG's account. And you just click on there and you can watch a live conversation for an hour.
Yeah. So, that's about it. Not much.
Well,
just
thank you so much.
Posting away. Oh, I do have an Etsy shop. If anyone wants to check that out too.
Please.
I forgot about that. I have Etsy trivia. So it's trivia games that you can play on Zoom with your friends in person. They're all like PDFs. They're all really cheap. I have one for, I think, every single franchise.
Do you ever host a game?
I haven't yet. I have thought of it many times, but I haven't done it yet.
Yeah,
I should though.
Cool.
Yeah. I know. I haven't figured out how to do it or how I want to do it, but they're really fun. All varying levels, I should say.
Well, you can find out all that information at her Instagram account at Brands by Bravo. All the information will be in the description of the podcast, but go support everything that she does. And Danielle, I mean, just amazing conversation. It's good when it can just be two people that just talking about what they love.
Yes. I literally could probably keep going for another 3 hours.
I know. I was like, I got to
it's Bravo. And also, you know, you're the first person I've talked to besides my husband in like 4 days. So explodes out of me. COVID has really not been good for the extrovert in me.
Well, enjoy Dallas tonight.
Thank you.
Start tearing the old man down, run past the heather and down to the old road. Start turning the grain into the ground. In the middle of the night, there's an old man shedding around in the gathering rain. Mister, if you're gonna walk on water, could you drop a line my way? Omaha, somewhere in middle America, you do right to the heart of matters. It's the heart that matters more. Thank you for the time, y'all. Ticket in and get your money back at the door.
So you start fanning it up, brush past the shuttle, slides through the cold room, turn the world across the wire, and roll a new life over. In the middle of the night, there's an old man fanning his toes through a bucket of rain. Mister, if you're gonna walk on water, you know you're gonna walk all over me. Oh, ha. Somewhere in middle America, beauty right to the heart of matters. It's the heart that matters more. Think you better turn your ticket in. Just get your money back at the door. Drop past the color, come up through the summer rain. Turn the girl to the ground and roll a new love over. In the middle of the day, there's a young man rolling around in the earth and rain. And you don't wanna walk on water, you know. You wanna walk all over me. Oh, ha. Somewhere in middle America, beauty right to the heart of man. It's the heart that matters more. Think you better turn your ticket in. Get your money back out the door. Oh, ha. It's somewhere in middle America, right to the heart of matters. Cause it's the heart.
Betches.